Psycho-Man.
But more or less than 100.
What's that? Well, we only played 9 holes, but...
more or less than 100.
Yeah.
He's avoiding the question, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was my first time out this year, and it was also my first time playing since the injury. So even though I feel like that had nothing to do with it, I'm going to blame it on that.
But he still hasn't answered the question.
What did you shoot?
What did you shoot? Yes.
What did I shoot? Hold on, let me look at my scorecard. I was like 17 over. That was horrible.
17 over? Well, that's so not 40, too bad.
49,
50. Hold on, let me look. Where's my fucking...
You played how many holes?
9.
Oh, you only played 9. Oh.
I shot a 46.
46? What's he complaining about?
Well, if that
two, was... two of those is 92.
Well, but yeah, but par, that's a, par is only 66 on that course if you played it twice.
Oh. Oh, what okay. course you play it?
I played, that was a, I played the Plainfield West 9.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, I shot a plus 13.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I had an 89 today.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my cool. last drive, Justin, was 290.
Nice.
I cracked that bad boy.
That's fucking awesome. Actually, dude, that's what happened to me.
And then he bogeyed the hole. triple eagled. I'm sorry, right?
Triple eagle.
My fucking the like the last two holes. I was actually like, well. There's a part of me that wish we played a full 18 because I feel like my back nine would have been a lot better because the last two holes, I felt like I was like kind of coming into my groove. But at the same time, like we were drinking a lot. So I feel like that groove, I feel like that groove would have only lasted a few holes before that went downhill. So it's probably better that we didn't play 18.
Okay, I see.
No,
yeah,
right. But the last two holes, actually I played pretty decent. I wasn't paying attention to the orders, but I had one, like, my drive, like, I almost drove the green. I had a really nice shot. It was like right in line with the fucking pin. Like, it was really nice. And then I absolutely botched my fucking approach shot from there.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yo, bro.
Hey, dude.
Yeah. So there you go.
Start them up.
So we're all here, and this is the Motorcycle Men Lighthouse Golf Podcast. This is episode 429, and as always, joining me here in the V-Twin Cafe, as always, we got Tim. I didn't get the golf swing yet. I'll get that. And we got Chris, of course. And Justin Brown, as always. Where is it?
That's me.
It's out there. Yeah. Hello, boys. We're here in the V-Twin Cafe where it's not 72 and sunny. It's 66 and raining here. What's it doing there?
It's about to do that same thing again tomorrow. Really? Again.
Oh, no kidding.
Tomorrow, yeah. Right now, it's 66, but it is not raining.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So tomorrow's going to be in a high in the 50s. Joy.
Welcome to summer, right?
Yeah.
Summer's not here yet.
Oh,
we
my
got a
God.
A ton of rain last week, though.
Yeah, I know. Really? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, we didn't have any rain last week. We had a little wet. No. One day we kind of got a little wet, but it's been pretty
it's
dry.
It's a little rainy
here.
Today.
Yeah, and it's gonna be like this. We're gonna have this tomorrow and the next day. So.
So they say.
So they say we're gonna be damp for a while. So here we are, Motorcycle Men Podcast. Like I said, this is 429, getting ever closer to our magic 500. So last week I had an interview with Holly Dutera of the Ohio Bike Week, and we talked about the Ohio Bike Week rally, which is not quite in progress. It's going to be starting this weekend coming up. And it happens in Sandusky, Ohio, right there on Lake Erie, about an hour west of Cleveland, where your daughter is, Tim.
Ooh, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. And it seems it seems like a pretty cool event.
Your daughter's out in Ohio?
She lives in Cleveland, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know now.
Well, you gotta listen.
Yeah.
I lived out there.
You did? Not really? Yet. Where'd you live?
I lived in Parma.
And we know that where that is because...
Well, it's a suburb of Cleveland.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. I went to school in Cleveland.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow. So you were like a Cleveland High School graduate?
No. I went to school out there for classic car restoration.
Oh, really? And now you're...
I thought you knew that.
No, really? You went for classic car restoration?
He never told us that.
Wow. And here you are fitting pipes now.
That's it.
So...
Putting it to good use.
Putting that education to great use. Yeah. How long did you go to that school for?
It's a year and a half.
Year and a half. And
so basically, instead of... What happened?
Did you graduate?
Oh, yeah. Instead of... instead of it being like where you do that and then take a whole bunch of other shit, that's what you do all day.
Right.
So
okay.
Rather than being right. 4 years, but you're taking like...
Yeah, all the kinds of... Yeah. English 101.
Yeah, right. You're literally just, you know, your whole day is...
Wow. So it's like it's a trade school is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Wow. And you're not putting that that education to use because...
Well, what happened was when I graduated, I don't know if anybody remembers the state of the country between like, give or take like 2008 and 2010, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a recession going on.
Where the economy was in the absolute shitter. So basically what happened is I graduated and like, you know, I was all full of piss and vinegar and I was excited and I was calling restoration shops like pretty much like up and down the East Coast and everybody was like, with, you know, the state of the way things were,
yeah.
They're like, we're getting rid of guys that we've had for 20 years, not hiring new ones.
Wow.
So
you had to find some quarter work.
Yeah.
Well, so what I did was I tried to find something relatively close in hopes that eventually I'd get back in that field. And so I worked in a body shop for a little bit. And then after I worked at the body shop, I got the job managing an AMCO, and then I moved to a different AMCO, and then I ended up at Harley, and now I'm a pipe fitter.
Wow.
Wow. So when are you going to start your job restoring classic cars?
Believe it or not, though, all the fabrication stuff that I learned...
Probably came in handy, right?
It's incredibly useful in the field that I'm in now.
Sure,
so,
I can imagine. Yeah.
Because it's pretty much all fabrication. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, there you go. And you can use those skills to rebuild that rat motorcycle you're trying to put back together.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
How is that coming?
Yeah, how is that coming along?
It's about the same as it was coming a year ago.
Really?
Wow.
But only now you have new pistons, right?
Now we know why you didn't get into the restoration business. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Now that I am on the mend,
yeah,
it should be easier. I do want to get back to it.
No, well, there you go. Well, good for you. What's going on? Hey, if you want to support the podcast, get on over and buy us a coffee or a pizza or something like that. Thank you very much to those who have done so. We greatly appreciate it. And as we amass the funds, we're going to go ahead and actually buy ourselves a cup of coffee because that's probably all we can afford. But no, we'll put that cash to use, and it's funding our everyday operations. That's what it's doing.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah. Don't forget to sign up on our mailing list on the website. This way, you can get notifications of new episodes and all kinds of crap early. I say I'm getting all this out of the way now, and buy my book. It's available on Amazon and, of course, Audible.
Shameless self promotion.
Yeah, why not? Did you finish
buy my book?
Did you finish it, Justin?
No, I'm back to work, but I will.
Ah, okay. Fine.
You can read it on your lunch hour.
Yeah, why not? Next course. Hey, Chris, so where's
I am enjoying it, though. I will say that. And that is, I am not just saying that because we're recording this.
Right. I appreciate that.
I legitimately do enjoy it, and I do recommend it so far.
Thank you.
I haven't finished it. But okay. I imagine I will feel that way at the end as well.
I hope so. Hey, Chris, what's up with your bike?
It's still in the shop.
Still. And how long has it been there now?
Well, this will be a month this week.
And what have they done to it?
Nothing.
Nothing. And has they given you prices for fixing it?
Nope. Jesus. Still waiting for that, too.
Still waiting for that, too. Yeah. Well, so we're not going to recommend that shop, are we?
No.
No. No, but we won't say anything until you get your bike back, right?
Nope.
No.
Jesus. I'm going to call him tomorrow and see what he fucking says now.
Oh, my God.
Get tired of it already.
A month is a little bit much. I mean, I hope he's not doing like that other jackoff did to your Yamaha, where he's taking parts off your bike and putting it on somebody else's bike, you know?
Better not be.
No. There'll be some massive lawsuits going on here. You know, that's kind of uncool. Way uncool. You guys watching the new Long Way series with Charlie Borman and Ewan McGregor?
No.
I didn't know there was one. I didn't realize it was new. I thought it was an old one.
No, it's just on Apple TV. And what this
they had a Long Way Home a long time ago.
No. They had Long Way, of course, Long Way Round. Then they had Long Way Down. Then they had the Long Way Up. And now this one is Long Way Home. This one is, and I forget, I can't remember whose house they're starting with. I think they're starting at Ewan's house and in Scotland or wherever. And then they're going around through Northern Europe and into the Arctic Circle and all the way through Europe and down through the bottom of Europe and then back up to Charlie's house. Or maybe it's the other Charlie's house first.
How is it compared to the other ones?
I've been through two episodes already, and I feel like the first two, I felt like the filming was, they got into more detail, you know, like they filmed a lot more. These episodes seem like they're really rushing it. Like they're, it's not like, they're not giving you as much as they did in the first two, even in the last one where they went from south to north. I don't know. It just seems like it's...
Well, maybe they were green-lighted for it, but for only a certain amount of time.
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. But, I mean, just as an example, I mean, just the first episode, they were out of their own country and passed through three other countries before the episode ended, where that wasn't the case with the other ones. There was really a... it took them a long time. To film.
Maybe those countries had like rules about filming, and so they had to do it that way.
I really don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I just either that, or maybe they are just burning through those countries that quick.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing a little bit of sightseeing and stuff like that.
Or maybe the weather sucked and it like wasn't worth showing. You know what I mean?
Well, the weather is kind of being crappy. Yeah, it is. I mean, they're getting rained on, of course, because they are in Northern Europe. But I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it. It's they got everybody back together. The same crew of people, the photographers, the
and where did they start and end again?
They're starting in the UK. That's where they're starting. I can't remember. I forget whose house they're starting at first. It's either Charlie's or Ewan's, and then they're going a loop around, and then they end at the other guy's house. So, you have to look it up. Yeah, it's on Apple TV. They do one episode every Sunday, so I haven't seen this third episode yet. I'm gonna watch that.
I don't know if I still have Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
we had it. We had like I know we had a trial for a little while.
Yeah,
I don't know if we still have it.
It's tell you what. This I don't know if it's just me, you know, in this area because of this wonderful internet we have here, but it's so freaking slow. It takes so long for it to load on the TV. I don't know why, but it does. It's really slow. But it's a great series. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think it's worthwhile to watch, you know. Brings back some memories and stuff. It's pretty cool. So, Justin, you sent me this thing about Janus Motorcycles. What the hell are they doing here?
Watches.
They partnered with who?
What was that? Was that Laurier?
Yeah.
And makeup?
No.
it's makeup, yes.
There's a watch company. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're out of New York, actually.
Laurier Watches, yeah.
And, they did like a...
Yeah, and I'm right here. I'm reading Ram. It's called... The watch is called the Rambler. An ode to
cool
the road,
actually.
Less traveled. It's designed in collaboration with Janus Motorcycles. The Rambler is made for those who take the poetic route. It calls back to the dawn of mechanized exploration, drawing inspiration from early field and pilot's watch references. But the Rambler isn't meant to be used to be a museum piece, a recreation of an antique. It's built to go anywhere and everywhere, like the bikes it was made to be paired with. It serves as a rugged, reliable companion that makes every trip an adventure. So, yeah. So there you go. It's the new classic Rambler from Laurier Watches. Do they even say how much this thing goes for? Do we even want to look?
That's, it's probably, I mean, it's probably on the website.
I'm looking at it right now. Learn more. So let's see. You want to take some guesses as how much this... Oh, here we go. I found it. How much do you think this watch costs?
$850.
No. Sorry.
$5,000.
No. Try again. Hey, Justin? Want to take a stab at it? I just saw the price.
I'm trying to remember if I feel like I might have seen it, so I feel like I don't want to...
$499.
I was gonna say, I think it was right around $500.
It's significantly more than my $99 Fitbit, and certainly a lot more than my $35 Timex. So
yeah, but for a watch, it's cheap.
You think so?
I mean, you get watches that go up. I mean,
no,
you get.
Not,
you get watches that get really stupid.
Well, yeah. Well, what's
you
that?
You get watches that go up over $100,000.
Oh yeah.
What's that? What do you call that? A tag heuer?
Yeah, I have two of them.
Yeah. Oh, they're expensive watches, right?
Yep. Yeah. They can be.
I mean, I don't know.
I think everything has an up and a down, you know, lower price and higher price.
I can't see owning an expensive watch because I am very hard on my watches and I would break it. You know, that's why I've been through like four watches in the past year. You know,
those watches are meant for dress.
Yeah,
I don't wear a watch. Chris, you don't wear a watch, do you?
Yeah, I got my stupid Fitbit fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, little fitness watch. Yeah, you know, up until about what 10 years ago, nobody wore a fitness watch. No.
Did they even have them?
You could, yeah, because like Fitbit like just came out like in 2014 or 2013. I don't really know exactly when.
Yeah, mine
out.
Looks just like an iPhone. Yeah, iWatch.
When did the iWatch first come out? It came out in the original iWatch came out in 2015, April 24th. In April, okay. And when did the Fitbit watch come out? The first Fitbit watch came out in 2009. So, yeah. So, but I you know what it is? Because there was a period of time where I didn't have my fitness watch. And I kind of, it sounds stupid, but I kind of felt lost without it. But I don't know. It's a thing, I guess. All right. What do you got to do? Hey, Americade is going on right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
What have you heard?
That's probably wet. That's probably all.
Yeah, as much as rain we've been having here, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Well, it's happening. Registration is closed, so you can't be. But it's going on right now. May 27th through May 31st is when the rally is going on. And it's happening, of course, up at Lake George, New York. I would love to go back to that rally again, but it's just, it all comes down to money.
Maybe you could find a place that's on a steeper hill.
Yes. That would be great. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, the memories, you know, will go on forever.
that they will.
That's the point, though. That's it. It was a lot of fun. But, and other stuff is going on. Say, the Myrtle Beach Bike Week rally just concluded. And now the, what did they call it? There's another rally that happens immediately after Myrtle Beach Bike Week, and it's sponsored by a club in the Myrtle Beach area, and that's happening now. That's going on, but I really think that Myrtle Beach Bike Week is almost pretty much almost a done thing. It must be. I get the impression that it's going to be no more. It has a short life, I should say, because nothing happens unless if you're down in Murrells Inlet or in that area, Harley-Davidson North, Harley-Davidson South, unless if you're those areas, there's nothing else happening for the entire stretch of the Grand Strand. There's nothing going on. Whereas it used to
be. How long have they been having that?
I can find out real quick. You know, I have no idea. I think this was the, I want to say the 35th or something like that. How old is the Myrtle Beach Bike Week? Let's see. It's first. Wow. I was way off. This was the 86th year.
Wow.
Yeah. It began in 1940. So, but
that ain't gonna end anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know, because you know what it is. It's getting smaller and smaller every year, and a lot of vendors aren't going back there anymore. The like I said, the vast majority of things that happened that
too spread out. If it was on one street, it makes sense. But
that's the problem.
Yeah, it's way spread out, and like I said, and not only that, it's really almost coincides with a lot of the summertime traffic. And I was heading down there last Friday to hit the rally, and I ended up turning around and coming back because the traffic was abysmal. It was horrible.
Oh, you didn't go, huh?
I didn't go. I mean, the traffic was very, very bad. Tim had told me that he had heard that there was a motorcycle accident on 17, and that's why it was closed down. Yeah, but the traffic was so crazy, and it was, you know, 90 degrees out. So I'm like, I'm not sitting in traffic 90 degrees going out at a rally for a couple hours. It's not going to happen. So I didn't even make it down there. But there's a lot of vendors aren't even attending the rally anymore because, first of all, Myrtle Beach doesn't want the rally anymore. That's been said over and over again. They don't want the rally anymore. And a lot of the facilities, like, for example, Barefoot Landing, which is a big shopping mall, which used to host many of the vendors and a lot of activities for the rally in their parking lot, they have last year they pulled the plug and they said we're not doing it anymore. So there was a big section in the northern part of the Grand Strand where there was activity. Now there's nothing. So yeah, so everything happens down at Murals Inlet. There's like three or four bars down there, and Harley Davidson South, Harley Davidson North, and outside of that, nothing. So I don't think that rally is going to be around much longer. I really don't. No. But it is what it is. So
to a point where it's not spread out. Know.
Well, you know, the thing is, there's a spot in the center of Myrtle Beach, the city of Myrtle Beach, where there used to be a mall or something like that, and there's this massive, massive parking lot. Imagine a shopping mall. But you take away the building, and now all you have left is this huge parking lot. So this parking lot is vacant, and it's been like that for years. So why wouldn't that be the ideal spot to hold the rally, right? Have all the vendors and everybody gather right there, do all your events right there. Everything happens right in and around that area. That would be ideal. And if the other places wanted to have it, they can do their thing. But for some reason, the city of Myrtle Beach says, no, get out. You know, so it is what it is. I know our friends over at Wild Ass Seats, they don't go to the rally anymore. They don't go to Myrtle Beach anymore. So,
speaking of Wild Ass Seats, I was just watching one of the police things. Just a side note. I was watching a police thing, and they pulled over a motorcycle, and he had a Wild Ass Seat on his.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I got to tell Craig that. What show was that on?
It was on OP Live.
OP Live. Don't even know what that is. Is that on YouTube?
No, it's on Reels or Peacock.
Oh, okay. OP Live. I'll have to
tell
him that.
On Patrol Live.
On Patrol Live. I'll have to tell him that. That sounds really funny. On Patrol Live. Okay, cool. Sturgis has announced their concerts for the new year. Okay, so I'll start with the lesser known and work our way up. So we have Citizen Soldier is playing one night. I don't even know who they are. We have Josh Ross will be performing another night. Hinder will be playing. Hinder. H-I-N-D-E-R. Hinder.
Did Hinder play one of those like Union County concerts one year?
I have no idea, dude. I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. I don't know. We have
NCC.
No, that would be a fun thing to see.
I would
go there.
Have to go.
I would have to go. I would actually have to make it a point to go. We got Jason Aldean, Country Star. Hey, Jason Aldean is going to be there, and then Five Finger Death Punch.
Right,
heard of them?
Okay, Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Everybody's favorite Nickelback. And then we got the Gene Simmons Band. It's going to be there. And Marilyn Manson. And finally, we got ZZ Top. So that's who will be performing at the Buffalo Chip this year.
Nice.
And performing at the Full Throttle Saloon. Three great acts, which... Jackal, naturally. The Jackal's going to be playing, naturally.
It's a given.
Yep, it's a given. Tesla.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Disturbed. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. I really, it's like now I go, now I wish I was going, you know. So, but yeah, that's who's going to be performing up there at the Buffalo Chip and at the Full Throttle Saloon. So if you're headed out, make sure you go there. Okay, so somebody, I got a question, and you know, because they ask us anything, and somebody asked, it was Little Mo who asked.
Little Mo
asked, what happened to the Shinko sponsorship? They went away. We don't know. They don't answer my emails anymore. They don't answer anything. Reaches out, nothing. So they just. Stopped, ceased, and desisted. Actually, the rep that we were using at the time, and he's no longer with Shinko. So, okay. When I met up with Chris Isaacs up at Chris Martinez up at Sturgis 2 years ago, he introduced me to the new representative for Shinko Tires, and then I got his information and I reached out to him, and he still hasn't, you know, reached back to me. So I don't know what it is, but these guys, they're just not, apparently they don't want us to be talking, so I don't know. And which I'm finding a little annoying is I get everybody's busy. I totally understand that, but I've reached out to Chris Martinez of Scorpion Helmets several times, probably on order of five or six times. Maybe four or five times. And I have not heard back from him. So I don't know if he's even there anymore now. So we may have lost our Scorpion Helmets sponsorship as well. So,
interesting.
You know, it's not that they were paying us anything, but it's, you know, we were just, they were providing us a service and we were providing them a service. So, you know, mutual. So we got a couple things going on. The Motorcycle Riders Foundation has been, as you know, they do a lot of stuff with motorcycle rights, motorcyclist rights, and they spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill lobbying for motorcycle rights and motorcyclists. And one of the things that they're working with now, there is a bill that they're trying to... it's the weirdest thing, but believe it or not, they're trying to change the definition of a motorcycle.
To what?
Well, the thing is, because unfortunately, let me read this thing just so you guys can, everybody can get an idea of what I'm talking about. So last week, Congressman Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin introduced a bill that directs the Secretary of Transportation to update the nearly 60-year-old federal definition of a motorcycle. In recent years, a new type of vehicle has entered our roadways, commonly referred to as an autocycle. These autocycles are classified as motorcycles at the federal level, but have little resemblance to a motorcycle, and the operational characteristics vastly different. So, example, the slingshot. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
makes
the
perfect sense.
Right. The Motorcycle Riders Foundation believes this ambiguity about motorcycles has created an unnecessary patchwork of rules and regulations regarding licensing, insurance, safety statistics, registration, and training courses from state to state. So updating the definition of a motorcycle has been on the Motorcycle Riders Foundation legislative agenda for several years. They're grateful that Van Orden has taken the first step to address this concern. The bill is H.R. 3385, will bring the federal definition of a motorcycle into the 21st century. Now, it's funny,
I mean,
because...
You spend a lot of money for nothing.
Well, yeah, you know what it is. And the thing is, because...
Okay, who cares? Shut up.
Well, you know, the definition of a motorcycle that we know, you know, we could say, okay, well, it's...
Two wheels.
Well, that's just it. The original bill said three wheels and did not get into specifics. That's all it did. It didn't say anything about how the vehicle is operated. It didn't say anything about what size engine it has. It didn't specify any of that stuff. But here's what they want to change it to. They want to change it to say that a motorcycle is defined in this section. The term motorcycle means a motor vehicle was originally manufactured with motive power, having a seat or saddle requiring the rider to sit astride, designed to travel on not more than three wheels in contact with the ground. Steering is controlled by handlebars, acceleration and braking controlled by handlebar and foot controls, and capable of reaching speeds in excess of 30 miles per hour. See, the original definition didn't say any of that. So it was, that's why I said it was very...
Well, I get it, because like, you know, the slingshot is basically a car.
Yes.
It's like
one less wheel.
A convertible.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of ridiculous that they classify that as a motorcycle. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of ridiculous that you got to wear a helmet.
Exactly. Right. Right.
I mean, not that I have any desire to go out and get a slingshot, but if I was going to take one out, I mean, the fact that you don't have to wear a helmet and a convertible, but you got to wear one on that is like ridiculous.
Exactly. Now, if you look at these photographs that I'm showing you here in this page.
Right? Three-wheel car, goddammit.
So you have, one of these is a Morgan, if you recall. One of these is a Morgan that was...
That's cool.
Yeah, that was on Top Gear.
Now, what was that one three-wheel car that they had a long time ago, back in the 50s, 40s? There was that little...
Are you thinking of the...
Opened it from the front. It wasn't called a motorcycle at the time.
You're talking about that Aunt Patty had in her backyard?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that was a Messerschmitt.
Yeah, but that's not a motorcycle.
No, it's not. They considered it a car. But again, that was in Europe. So, and what was that car that they had on Top Gear all the time that they used that always flipped over? That was the three wheels. They had two wheels on the back and one on the front.
Yep.
The Robin. It was called the Robin. That's right. But all these vehicles have, if you look in this picture, you got the Morgan up there and you got the bunch of other three-wheel vehicles. And the Vanderbilt, of course, is there. And the Slingshot, of course, naturally. But those are all, look, my opinion of that is if you sit in it, use a steering wheel, and have a door, and are using your foot pedals for gas, brake, and etc., you're driving a car. And if you have a roof, you're definitely driving a car. So I understand that they want to push this bill through, so that it's more. And this certainly likely will change a lot of local, state, and federal laws regarding motorcycle and, you know, autocycle, you know, laws, I think. So that's a cool thing.
It is. Yeah. I mean, they do have to kind of reel in what the difference is.
I think it might have some effect on insurance rates, too.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, you would think, anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why motorcycles have to be as expensive as they are.
They're more here than a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Especially, even registration is more.
Yep.
Is it really?
Makes no fucking sense.
Well, registration's a lot more in the car, but the insurance is higher because it's considered more of a liability.
Insurance now. Well, I only pay for my two bikes. I pay $36 a month.
So no, but I'm saying like the whole idea is like, I mean, it's a lot easier to hide a motorcycle. It's a lot easier for a motorcycle to be stolen. It's a lot easier for a motorcycle to have an accident.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's, you know, and especially when it's, if it's not something that you use every day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's considered more of a recreational vehicle than anything else. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a toy. And in other cool, ooh, hold on a second. Here. Let me get this back. And where's my little cheat sheet? California has done something very interesting regarding, as soon as I can find it all. Yes. Okay, there's a new resolution that's going to the Environmental Protection Agency regarding what California is effectively mandating the sale of electrical vehicles over the next decade. Okay. But today, the U.S. Senate passed a vote of 51-44 regarding HJ Resolution 88, a resolution that would overrule the Environmental Protection Agency's rule following California to effectively mandate the sale of electric vehicles over the next decade. This plan by California threatens not only the internal combustion engine in California, but also the entire country, as several other states have tied their rules to those implemented in California. So what this resolution is, that they overruled it by the EPA, is that they're saying, well, basically, no, you can't say we have to get rid of the internal combustion engine in the next 10 years. A vote today and two other planned votes on similar California proposals are major victories in the defense of the internal combustion engine. Protecting the internal combustion engine is a key part of the Motorcycle Riders Foundation legislative agenda, and we are pleased with the action taken today in the U.S. Senate. This victory coming the same week as hundreds of bikers met with lawmakers on the same topic in D.C. So there's a nice vote to save the our beloved motorcycles, you know.
The thing that kills me about this whole thing is you would think that people would do some sort of research about the plausibility of a bill before they try and put it into action. And everybody wants to make all these cars electric, get rid of fucking fossil fuels and this, that, and the other thing, but our power grid is struggling to keep up with what we already
need
for now.
Yes, exactly.
What plans do you have in place? And what do they think these power grids run on? Fossil fuels. They're fucking idiots. It's like,
well,
it makes no sense.
Well,
you want
everybody
to have an electric vehicle. You want everybody to have electric heat pumps in their house. You know what I mean? Instead of burning oil and all this other shit. It's like you want to do all this electric, but what are you doing?
Doing nothing.
To build the grid to be capable of that.
Right, well, that's because they spin it that way.
Produce these bills.
Yeah.
And then the second somebody's like, okay, fine. How do you plan on doing it? You know, it's like all of a sudden it's the first time anybody's brought that to their attention, and they're like, and nobody's got a fucking answer.
Nobody has a plan.
It's too easy for me to be like, go green, everybody goes electric. Okay, but what's your plan?
Yeah, exactly.
And even if that's your eventual, like, look, this is the goal we want to shoot for, don't be an idiot and say that it's going to happen in 10 years.
Right.
You're right.
Because
there's no infrastructure for
it.
There's no infrastructure for it.
No, there's no way. Even if you decided tomorrow, like, this is what we're going to try and make the eventuality. I mean, you're way further out than 10 years on making that a reality.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. You know what the thing is? And a lot of, well, see, the way it is spun out in D.C., the way the whole electric thing is spun to the general public is that if we don't do this, we're all going to die. It, basically, you know, you're killing our children. You're killing the animals. You're killing our environment. You're killing the planet. This is why we have global warming, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. And when indeed that is not the case at all. Now, if they want to say, okay, we want to promote electric vehicles as an alternative to internal combustion engines and the use of quote unquote fossil fuels or systems that burn fuel to make the engine go. Okay, well, let's send it that way instead of pushing the environmental thing, because it's not real. It's not, it can't be justified. Like you said, Justin, what's your plan to manage, to fund and to take care of all these systems that you want in place? Because there is no infrastructure for it. Now, it's growing. The infrastructure is growing. But
it's not even growing at the rate the demand is changing.
Oh, absolutely not. It is not.
I mean, we're still, even though everybody's a lot more focused on growing because they recognize that we're behind, we're not even growing at a pace keeping up.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, staying neutral. Even though we're growing, we're like still going, we're like growing and going backwards at the same time.
Yeah. Because the more we use, we are not supporting it. Now, isn't California the state that's been having rolling blackouts?
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't California the same state that is asking people to reduce their electrical usage because the grid can't keep up?
Yeah, because everybody decided that go green with no plan on how to do so.
Right. They asked people to please not charge your electric cars.
And here's the thing. I'm not trying to sit here and say that, you know, if you want to do things, you know, like if you want to go green and that, I'm not sitting here and it's just like, oh, you're just an asshole. What I'm saying is you have to have, you know, it's like anything else in the world. If you're going to, you have to have a plan in place first.
Of course, yes.
You know, it's not like if I decide tomorrow I want to build a house, I don't just go to Home Depot and buy a whole bunch of shit and then try and figure out how to put it together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's like, things you have to do first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Permits, things like that. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, yeah, there's a process for figuring the shit out, but so many politicians use it as like a hot button thing. And the reality is they probably don't even care if it goes through.
No, probably
the fact
not.
That they say, hey, listen, you know, vote for me and we're going to go green the next 5 years. Anybody who cares about that.
No, it just gets money
like,
funneled to there. Yeah.
And then it just gets shot down because everybody's like, that's not feasible.
Exactly. I've ridden the Livewire and it's a wonderful motorcycle. It really is. It's a lot of fun. It's an amazing piece of machinery. And yes, I would own one, but as an alternative to what I have. You know, if I need to put gas in my bike and I go like, I'm a little short on cash this week, and I realize a motorcycle doesn't take a lot, but you know, I could say, you know what, let me just take out the live wire for a change. Let me do that. Just because it's fun and yada yada. But I don't, like I said, it's an alternative.
I don't
it's
even know how motorcycles are included in any of this because there's not enough of them to even so-called affect the fucking whatever the fuck they're worried about.
Yeah, and to
it's just stupid.
Well, you know, but not only that, but
it only takes one person to complain, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but for them to say, look, okay, in the next 10 years, we're going to stop selling internal combustion engines. That's it, no more. Now, does that Dean, you're not going to. You're going to stop selling.
Trump says. Trump says you drive it all the way you want.
Yeah. Now, but if you stop selling new internal combustion engines, there are millions of used internal combustion engine vehicles out there. Does that mean you're going to stop the resale of those? I mean, tell me where the line is.
Well,
right, because
for years, they were trying to, there's an issue with like classic cars because of, you know, their, I mean,
EPA standards are free. Oh yeah. They're not even emission standards are way out. Forget
it. It's not even like remotely close. They're for the longest time, you know, the way that, you know, the Motorcycle Foundation kind of fights the fight for motorcycles. You know, you had these different lobby groups that were trying to fight the fight for classic cars because they were basically trying to ban owning classic cars due to the, you know,
the emissions
and the whole nine yards, which obviously is still has still not happened. And that's been going on way longer,
yeah,
you know, than this has. So, I mean, good luck. But, I mean, I don't know.
It just when I hear things like this, I just gotta go. I just
actually gonna accomplish something.
You know, when I hear things like this, I just shake my head and I'm like, "You mean you have nothing else better to go after, really?" I mean, because look, what's the oldest car I've ever owned, man? I'm like, geez, you think about how long does a normal car last?
Depends.
You know, you can easily have a car for 20, 30 years, right? So if there is a used car out there that you just got a new to you vehicle, right? And what year is yours?
It's 2012.
It's 2012, right? Figuratively speaking, in 15 years, you're still driving that same vehicle,
right?
So, yeah, you can stop the sale of new internal combustion engine cars, but there's people going to be driving these things for possibly decades later. So what's the point? What are you going to tell everybody you can't drive that anymore?
You can't stop the sale entirely.
No, you can't.
Because there's certain things that you know, the electric vehicle market hasn't gotten figured out yet, right? Like you know, time in between charging.
Well, it's getting better. I'll tell you, it is getting better.
Necessarily there yet. I mean, let's face it. Like, if you're one of these guys that makes a living, okay, we're talking about the rallies coming up, right?
Yeah.
There's guys that haul bikes for these rallies, like, across the country.
Yeah.
You're going to haul 15 bikes in a trailer.
In an electric vehicle? No.
It would take you 6 months to get there.
I know. Yeah, there's like I said,
it would really, really hurt our transportation of goods.
Oh, there's certain things that I'm not suggesting that it couldn't be the way of the future.
Not going to happen in 10 years.
Well,
and that's the thing.
People just need
to get their head wrapped around that. Okay, if you want that as a future goal, that's fine.
Yeah, but you can't put a date on it and say this is it. You can't.
You can't put a hard line and say no matter what we've got figured out.
Yeah. You know, because you know, you say okay, 10 years, that's it. 10 years from this date, no more internal combustion engines, and then 10 years in one day, people are going like, "What are we going to do now? You know, how am I going to get this shipment?"
Right. It's not like everybody can go out and afford to buy one of these cars.
Right.
Well,
we've talked about this. I mean, we've beaten this to death. On other episodes, but I mean, you still have all the batteries from these things that they have to figure out something different than they're doing right now, because now they basically just have landfills full of batteries.
Yep, they don't know how to get rid of them.
And they, because of the weight of these things, they go through tires like crazy. They said that since the electrical vehicles have been more prevalent, that there's been like that much more whatever rubber material found in water, you know, from the breakdown of all this. I mean, it's like there's a lot of other side effects to this whole opera. I mean, it's like it's great to go, okay, yeah, green, right?
Yeah.
But you're charging these things based on fossil fuels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your
diesel power generators and et cetera.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's nobody charging these batteries with solar panels and wind turbines.
It's a lateral move right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here, listen to this. Listen
to this. It makes the end user feel better, but it's not actually better.
It's not really doing anything.
And the reality is if you want it to truly be a positive impact versus just making yourself feel better,
yeah,
you know, then we're a ways away from that.
Well, what about what's your? Well, let me read this thing, and then I want to ask you another question. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is Tesla batteries are typically last between 10 and 20 years, or 300 to 500,000 miles for the average driver. This can be equivalent to 1,500 charge cycles. While there's no set time for replacement, signs of battery wear include noticeable decrease in driving range, inability to retain a charge, or a system alert from Tesla. Tesla's warranty typically covers range loss of more than 20%. So 10 to 20 years, let's say if you have your average commuter who's driving, we'll say 100 miles a day. Well, yeah, I guess that's about right. Maybe 100 miles a day. You know, you get somebody who's doing that every single day, 5 days a week, you're going to see some serious decrease in battery usage. I mean, battery's ability to retain a charge over time. So, yeah, who's what does it cost to replace a battery in a Tesla car?
It's like the price of a Tesla.
Now, is the person, when it gets to that point where, okay, well, your battery is shot, we need to replace it, do they just replace in the car then, or are they doing the battery?
You can replace a battery, but the reality is, because of the cost and what goes into it, I think everybody's just replacing the vehicle.
Okay, the cost to replace a Tesla battery varies between $15,000 to $20,000 for a complete battery pack replacement outside of warranty.
Somebody in my office told me they had to replace their batteries, $20,000.
Get the hell out of here. Really? And they did it? Now, what's the alternative, though?
Go fuck yourself? I mean, that's fucking retarded.
you traded it for a Toyota Corolla.
You know, well, whatever.
Well, as an alternative, there are now hydrogen cell systems, hydrogen fuel cell systems available in cars. I can't remember what company it is that just came out with that. They have a hydrogen cell car.
Yeah.
Hydrogen cell car. Who is doing that? Hydrogen fuel cells. I don't know. They don't really say who does it. But zero emissions, long range, fast refueling, because basically all you're doing is swapping out a cell. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Oh, yeah. The examples of hydrogen fuel cell cars. You got the Toyota Mirai. You got the Hyundai Nexo, the Honda CR-V. FCEV and BMW iX5 hydrogen. So there are four cars right now that are commercially available hydrogen fuel cell cars. But again, just like
hybrid is what makes the most sense right now.
Hybrid is the smartest thing ever. Because now you get the best of both worlds. You know?
And plus, you're not where, and the battery should last longer in that. Oh, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, because they're only used up to 30 or 35 miles an hour. That's it.
Does a hybrid car battery last? Battery car usually lasts 100 to 200,000 miles or around 10 to 20 years. So it's about the same thing.
That's not good then.
But it's not.
But then again, most people are replacing their car. Most people are replacing their cars within 20 years anyway.
Yeah, that's true. You know. And, well, again, what happens to the battery when it's used up? Where is it going?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem is what are you going to do with the...
There is no...
You're going to keep burying it for how long? I mean, eventually it's going to become a problem.
Yeah, there is no plan for what to do with batteries once they're dead. So... We'll keep our internal combustion engines and we'll keep them in our motorcycles and enjoy it. And that's that. Right. That's I know I should do so. I mean, let me do Bennett real quick and then we'll wrap this up. That's yeah. I guess we'll do some business. We'll do some business. So are you guys ready for that? We'll do some business.
Yeah,
will it work? It's not going to work. Oh, come on. There we go. Here we go. All right, the Motorcycle Man Podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. We think offering high quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. Learn more, get on over to scorpionusa.com. And Wild Ass Seats, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you are tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go to wild-ass.com and get your cushion from the real Craig Johnson today. And make sure you tell them that you saw them on Patrol Live. All right. And Tobacco Motorwear, for the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Get in Dave's pants. Tobacco Motorwear. That's tobaccomotorwear.com. Our listeners will get 10% off on your order when you use the code MOTOMAN. Your safety is worth it. So get into Dave's pants or go into the Motorcycle Men website and order there, and you'll get your 10% off also. All right. And that's that, boys and girls. Anything you guys want to bring up? Now, what the hell? Shut up. So we're going to be without Justin for a while.
Why? What's happening with Justin?
Well, Justin's having a sex change operation. And no, just kidding. he's having his penis lengthened.
Yeah. Again?
I know. Didn't take the first time.
Well, he's informed.
Last time it was length. This time it's girth.
he's going to be working a lot, so he's going to be pulling 12-hour shifts. So, we'll get a stand-in. I'll see if Larry Marshall would be interested in being a stand-in for episodes coming up. But who knows? Like I said, the next time we get together, Justin may say he's available. We'll just go ahead.
Larry or Eric?
More than likely Larry. Eric only comes out on certain occasions.
we gotta get Eric on.
I feel like you do need an Eric podcast.
Oh my God. Yeah, that could probably Eric happen. But it would have to be
on an Eric podcast.
It would have to be a Saturday night though, when he doesn't have to worry about work the next day. But we'll see. But and that's about it. We got any riding coming up from you guys coming up at all?
Nope.
No. Well, that's right. Not you, Chris, because you're going to find out about your bike soon, I hope.
And, yeah, better.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go get it and take it somewhere else.
Yeah. Jeez. Then just take it over to Harley. Let them fix it. That's it. Be your best bet. But
How'd you end up at the shop that it's at?
Well, yeah. Tell everybody what happened exactly.
No. I know what happened. What I'm saying is how did, like...
Does the audience know?
I think... Does the audience... Did we talk about this last time? I don't think we did.
The back bearing seal. Wow. While I was riding, felt like at first I thought the tire was flat, but then I was like, "Oh, tire's not flat. That means the seal went." Yeah, wow. But then I saw a little O-ring hanging off the hub, so I was like, "Oh, great."
That must have been fun.
Then I had it taken over to the cycle shop because it's only like 3 miles from my job because that's where it happened.
Yeah,
and that's why it's there.
What cracks me up is it's still there.
You just took it to that place at a location convenience.
Yeah, at a convenience, like, exactly.
Okay, so it's not like you used this guy before. And
I did use this guy once before, about 2 years ago for something else. I can't remember what it was for.
Yeah, what was it that last time? Oh, was that when you had the accident? No. What the hell was it for? I can't remember. Oh, you were getting your tires done.
Yeah, you were getting your tires done. And he does the Harley safety check bullshit. Mm-hmm. So, of course, now I talked to him on Thursday. And he was like, I need new tires. I got a nail on my back tire.
Blah, blah, blah.
I need that. And, you know, before you know, it's like fucking $2,500 of fucking repairs. I'm like, for fuck's sake.
Mm. No. Yeah, but still, fix the problem that I asked you to fix. You know, don't give me a report. And but yeah, if it were me, I would just take my trailer over there and say, I'm here to pick up my bike. Oh, I'm not done with it yet. No, it doesn't matter. I'm here to pick it up. That's it. I'm going to take it someplace else, that place that will actually work on it. So, but hey, you know, well, I'm going to be
Is
coming
like
up.
Is he like a one-man, like, Is he like a one man like show? Is that the deal?
No, no. He's got mechanics there that it works for him. If I said the shop, you'd know it.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm purposely.
Wow. But. Well, I was planning on coming up in June, and if your bike still isn't done, then I will bring my tools. We'll take that back wheel off. We'll get it over to one of the shops. We'll have them change the bearings out. We'll put everything back together.
Right.
Be done licking split.
Done way before then.
Yeah, let's hope. But the way it sounds like it, nothing's going to happen. So anyway, I got nothing else to bring up, talk about, yada, yada, yada. How about you guys? Anything you want to bring
I'm
up?
I'm good.
Yeah? How about you, Justin? Yeah. You got anything?
I think we all vented enough for okay. one evening. That's
good. Hey, Chris, did you go see Mom tonight?
No, I did not see her tonight.
Okay. All right. Did you talk to anybody? We'll talk about it later.
I talked to the doctor, sir.
Okay, cool.
We'll talk about it here.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
All right.
All right, dudes. So that's it. Again, I am Ted, your host here in the podcast, and I'm here with Tim Buck, too, as always, and Chris the Joker, and Justin Brown. That's it, boys and girls. Thank you very much for listening. This has been episode 2. I always keep saying 2. It's 429, 428, 429. Yeah, for some reason I can't keep that straight. But anyway, all right, so you guys want to sign off? Tim, what do you got to say, man?
Right, like nobody sees you.
Chris, what do you got?
I have no idea.
Okay, fine. How about you, Justin? Do you got anything? Okay, we'll take that. All right, boys and girls, thank you very much for listening. And remember, kids, we say stupid crap, so you don't have to.
No.
No. All right.
That
bullshit.
Who is your daddy, and what does
what
he do?
What did he do?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys. We're done.
All right, fellas.
All right, Justin. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care, man.